This call is now being recorded.
Welcome to Kid Missing Radio. Today, my guest is Cheryl Leverett. She is the mother of Chloe Leverett. I love that name, Chloe. And Gage Daniel, who went missing after a fire at their grandparents' home, where their grandparents and two pets were killed. A bird and a dog. Cheryl, can you take us back to that day and tell us what happened to the best of your recollection?
It was September 23rd, 2012, a Sunday night. I got the call that my mom and dad, someone come pick me up to their mom and dad's house was on fire. We went out there. And I can remember when I stepped out of the truck that my brother came up to me and grabbed me and said, the last wall just fell in and nobody made it out. The house was engulfing flames. That was Sunday. They said the fire started around 9:30, 10 o'clock that night. Fire trucks were having to bring water in because there wasn't any fire hydrants there, and it was just a shock. I can remember standing there watching the flames and the worst feeling I had ever had in my life at that time. That moment was I could not help them. My mom, my dad, my children, Chloe and Gage, there's nothing I could do. And so the fire, they finally got it out, and I went home with my sister, and they found my mom's body, my dad's body, a cockatoo bird, and a miniature poodle. That was Monday. They had found them, and nothing of Chloe and Gage. They, I'm waiting, trying to see what's going on, but they never did find their body. And they brought in the best of the best to sift through the fire. They sifted through everything, TBI, FBI, ATF, people from the World Trade Center, just many people that had very much experience at this. And they did not find one single morsel of Chloe or the Gage. And they took me in and they gave me a polygraph. And after I passed the polygraph, they told me that Chloe and Gage was not in the house fire, that they was putting an Amber Alert out and that they were considering them missing. So from that point on, we're looking at, someone had went in and done something really bad to my parents and took Chloe and Gage and burnt the house down. And I know that my parents had to be dead before they burnt the house down, but otherwise they would not have taken my children, because I know they died fighting for them. There is no doubt about that. They loved them.
Yeah. Your aunt agreed with that. She thought that they had been killed.
My aunt, yes. Oh, yes. Mary Esther, she is. I'm so thankful for her and Cynthia and Sherry and Aunt Kay. We're going to call one Aunt Kay. I know it's the aunt, but they have been my support. They were my, it was actually my stepdad who was in the fire, but he was a very, very, I don't make him like him anymore. No way. He was my rock. He was my security. He was my best friend. And his sisters, they have stepped up and supported me from day one and backed me on trying to find Chloe and Gage and anything that's happened. And I'm so grateful for them. The family agrees that they had to be murdered, and for them to take in Chloe and Gage. They had a picture of Chloe had come about in February. So we did know that, they was not in the house fire. We did know that, prove that too, that they was not in the house fire, but they had the best of the best out there. Dr. Bass from Knoxville, he does the body farm here in Tennessee, and from United States and those places, he was there. He was one of the first ones to say they were not in the house fire. Everybody has their opinion. They brought in some more, forensic people, and they also said that they was not in the house fire. And the house got up to 1,800 degrees. It takes 5,000 degrees to cremate a body, and there are still bones and a muscle that the crematory has to grind up because they will not burn. So if Chloe and Gage would have been in that house, they would have found something.
Yeah.
And they were 50 pounds. And the bird probably weighed 3 pounds and the poodle might weigh 10, but they would have found them. But, you know, time is going on.
Yeah, I mean, if they found the poodle and the bird,
yes,
kids are a lot bigger than a poodle and a bird.
Yes, you know, and the Bedford County Sheriff's Department, they really, I don't know where to use them. Not too keen on them, but the sheriff at the time had said they had evaporated. My children evaporated. People do not evaporate. And I just feel like they didn't do. If they would have done a better job when it first happened, things could have been different. But you know, it is what it is. TBI stepped in. I'm so grateful for TBI. So grateful for them.
Yeah, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation is one of the top state investigative agencies in the country.
Yes, and I have an agent that she is very, very adamant. She's very caring, and I mean, she's been there since 2015, and I'm thankful for her. But if they had not stepped in, I do not know what would have happened. I think they would probably just pass it off as, you know, they died in a house fire and nobody would be looking for them.
Yeah.
And I'm adamant about finding my children.
Yeah.
They're not seven,
you know,
go ahead, then.
Yeah. I was thinking, as I was researching, I found the Amber Alert is still active. This must be one of the longest running active Amber Alerts ever.
Yes. And they will continue us to keep it active. They, you know, I had concerns about some, you know, I was told that, you know, after 10 years that I understood at first the state would declare them dead, but they don't. And I was so worried when that, you know, that it hit that mark that, you know, something, they're going to declare them dead, nobody will look for them, but, you know, TBI is like, no, we will never do that. You're the only one who can do that. And of course, I would never do that. But, I was thankful for that. And, you know, I want people to be aware that there's so much out there. And you don't realize it until you are put in a position I've been put in. But know that human trafficking, sex trafficking, all that is real. Very much so real.
Yes.
And watch your children very carefully. Even, you know, even if they're teenagers, watch them, adults. I mean, it's horrific. Horrific.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
I've seen stuff, and, you know, of course, I stay up on, you know, stuff trying to help find them. You know, I pray that one day they will come home.
I did get some information that I wanted to run by you from your aunt. There were propane tanks, and supposedly they didn't rupture?
My dad, he had worked at the gas company years prior to that. He had them. I was 45 when the fire happened. And he had them since I was 9 years old. And they were in the basement. Why he had them, we'll never know. But they were down there, and they had, I think a few of them have been opened. But I know that my dad did not do that. And they said the fire vented from the basement door, which he was very adamant every night about locking that basement door.
Yes, she told me that. She said, there's no way he left that basement door open.
No. I watched I lived on the same land as them for many years, and I watched him every night. I'd go up there. My mom kept, you know, Chloe for me a lot, and I'd go up there and make supper with him, whatever. He was adamant about walking down after supper, locking that basement door, and coming back up and going to bed. And, you know. Go ahead, honey.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to ask, your aunt said that they were. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, because it's a real thing, that they were hoarders.
Yes. And, you know, what was sad is that a lot of people didn't realize, you know, like family members and stuff, they only lived in half of the house, because it was a big, they built an extremely large house, and it was like, gosh, I want to say 4 or 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, you know, living room. It was huge, and they only lived half of it. But Bubba, people didn't know this at the time. He had cleaned that house out.
Oh.
And I was already done it. So, they, you know, they're saying that you're like a hoarder. Which they had a lot of stuff now. I ain't saying they didn't, because they do like their stuff. But he had cleaned out all those rooms in the back, and the front was pretty well cleaned out. So it wasn't as bad as, you know, a lot of people had initially thought. But, yes, they was hoarders. But, and they said that Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead and finish your thought, and then I'll ask a question.
That's the reason why, you know, the fire was so intense is because there was horrors, but that had all been claimed, a lot of been claimed down very much so.
Yeah. Apparently, there was a safe with Bubba and Molly's wills in it that disappeared.
There's two safes. Mom and Bubba both had the same exact safe, fireproof. They found Mama's, but they did not find Bubba's. And Mom and Bubba had changed the will just a few months before this had happened, that Chloe and Gage were to get everything. I would have living rights. And they, we did not know this, but you have to request a lawyer to hold a will for you. And of course, Mom and Bubba country, you know, they didn't say nothing about it, but they brought it home and they put it in a safe. And, it's safe.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either, but, and the lawyer had passed away that had done the will at the time, so, you know, with, you know, but I believe that played a whole lot in this.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting. That part was interesting to me because I've actually, how do I put this? A gentleman my father grew up with, my mother's former boss, sadly ended his own life after allegations that came up years after the fact, that how do you prove a negative, you know?
Yeah.
And his will was in the safe in his house, and it's what that statement made me think of. And his family got in the safe, they got the will, because the safe was open because that's where he got the gun that he ended his life with. And they got the will, and they tore out one of the pages of the will that said that his foster son inherited his house.
Oh, my gosh.
And they took his house and sold it out from underneath his foster son.
Yeah.
So, I just when you said that, you know, when I read or when I heard that, that's what I thought of was my friend and how, and then you just said, a lawyer has to have a copy. Well, I would have thought every lawyer would have had a copy, but apparently not.
Yeah, you have to request it and know that they hold a copy. And I, you know, I didn't know that until all that happened. I assumed that they just automatically kept one.
Yeah, well, I this tells me it was someone who knew them.
Oh yes, yes, there's
had to be.
Oh yes, you know they.
And I wonder. And I brought this up with Mary. I wonder if let me turn the page. That's hard to do with one hand. If, because of the way that they said the kids weren't in the house, I am wondering if someone, related or unrelated, that your parents trusted came maybe earlier that day or the day before and said, can we take the kids for a little while? And they said, sure, have fun. And the kids went and had fun, didn't know what happened, and the people came back later without the kids and did the deed. And the kids didn't know.
Chloe and Gage were last seen at my mom and dad's house at 6:30 p.m. that night. They were at the house. A cousin had went to drop her niece off, and they was outside playing. And but 6:30 was the last time they were seen. And the fire.
And what time did the fire happen?
They said between 9:30 and 10.
Huh.
It started. So 3 hours before that, they had been seen outside playing.
Okay. Gage had Daniel Walker syndrome.
Yes, it's
a rare neurological syndrome.
It controls your motor skills. You're talking. He's not mentally challenged, but he is slow a little bit, but he does understand. He does, you know, get around still, I hope, but it controls your spinal cord. It builds up on your spinal cord, and it causes you to have issues, you know, running. I have such a good story on that, too, buddy, but you're running. It doesn't hurt him to fall down or anything. He'll fall down, get right back up, and keep going. But, such a special child. So loving. Both my children have good hearts.
This is what you were talking about earlier, I think, or what you alluded to earlier. A woman in a diner that same year photographed a little girl believed to be Chloe.
Yes, she sent it to TBI, and TBI contacted me. At the time, I had looked at, I couldn't see how many pictures trying to see, you know, people were sending in, you know, this was Chloe.
Yeah.
Or, and, but this one, when he, the agent at the time handed me that picture, I just started crying because I knew that was my child. But I didn't know the people in the picture with her. But that was February 2013. And they all believe there's three agents all together, and we all believe that that was Chloe. I mean, I know it was Chloe. I mean, I know it was.
Yeah.
And, but that's the last one.
Oh, a mother knows her child, and it wasn't like it was that far removed from when it happened.
No. It was like maybe 6 months. That was February. That happened September. So, yeah, right at 6 months. But I've never, you know, since then I haven't seen one. And there's been bodies and, you know, but not anything of significance. I mean, they even had one in Costa Rica, but I just knew they were Chloe and Gage, you know, and but it wasn't, unfortunately.
Yeah. Your aunt says, you know, if she wishes that you could get the kids back now because they're grown now and things would be different. And
yes, I wish that they would come home. She's up in age. Mary Esther's like 84, I think. Gage loves Mary Esther. Oh, that was his woman. And Chloe does too, but Gage, you know, he took up with Mary Esther. And we was all scared of her kids. He's like, oh, he said Mary Esther, run. We're going to be in trouble. But she's such a good-hearted person. Yeah, I wish they would come home but so that she would be there for that.
Yeah.
You know, every night I go to bed, but well, the day wasn't a day. Well, maybe today will be the day they come home. I've done that.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't even.
There's no words to really describe it, but it's a horrific, hellish headache. I have lost.
Yeah. Basically everything.
Yeah, no heartache.
Basically
greater
than everything. I can't even imagine that heartache.
You know, it's, you know, they say things happen for a reason, but I'm like, what is the reason for this? And, my pastor, I've known this guy since I was like 14 years old, had the biggest crush on him. He'd buy me Coke and candy bars. I thought he was the greatest thing alive. But, you know, I asked him, I said, why did God do this? He said, honey, God didn't do this. Evil done this, but God will fix this and don't give up. And those words have stuck with me all these years, and that's what has really gave me a different outlook.
Wow.
And I'm so glad he said those to me, because I was so angry. But the very, very first picture that was taken of the house fire, there were two crosses in the flames. So I know God.
Really?
Yes, you can see them. I know God came. And I know, you know, I know evil done it. There's no doubt. You know, I know that God can either way. And, I do feel them. I do feel them alive. I do. I just don't know where they're at, but I can't feel them. I still have that bond. And, from day one, you know, I tell my family.
Her brother would have gotten them all out if he could have.
Yeah. You know, and
she has no doubt about that.
Yeah, Bubba, yes, he would have. My dad, I called my dad, and he was the best person I've ever known in my life. He loved us. We were his stepchildren, but he loved us as we were his own. And he treated us as we were his own. And he loved people unconditional. I can remember growing up, he worked plumbing and construction, and he would do the plumbing, and I would do big cleanup girl, you know, at big, you know.
Yeah.
Construction sites, and we got off work one day. We was going home. This man walked up to him at the store, and he said, "Miss, you got any change?" And my daddy said, "Yeah, I think I got something." And he pulled out $100 bill and gave it to that homeless man.
Holy crap!
And I was like, "That's, you know, that's his heart, you know." And he just smiled. You know, that man was like, "Thank you, thank you." And I thought, you know, damn, daddy, Bubba, I need one of them. But you know, he had that heart.
Yeah. Yep.
And he taught me, you know, you love unconditional and you don't, you know, don't judge anybody. You love.
Yep. My, you know, that reminds me of, my mother was also raised by a stepfather. From the time she was a year old, he came into my grandmother's life and the lives of her three daughters, and they were his daughters. When my uncle got in trouble one time, he said, he was telling us the story when Grandpa had passed away, and he said, Dad came and he looked at me and he said, I have raised three daughters that didn't give me trouble. How dare you? But he looked at them as his daughters. He did not look at them as his stepdaughters.
That's how Bubba was. You know, was he? He said, you're just free entertainment. You're just free entertainment. He said, I don't know what you're going to do. You're unpredictable. From day to day, you're going to do something. And because I told him everything. You think I done? I'd be like, Bubba, you won't believe what done happened now. And he told one of my friends, he said, If she done it. If she didn't, she didn't. There's no in between. And she's going to make sure that she tells you. And she's going to tell you twice, make sure you hear it. Even if you don't want to, you're going to hear it. But he was such a good man. My friends would come to my house and they go see him, but they come see me. I'd be like, can my friends come down here and play me now? Are you done with them?
That's funny.
Yeah, he was I got some good stories. I got good memories of him and Mama. Good memories.
Yeah. Well, my grandfather was a lot older, so he's almost ready to retire. He was in his 50s. When he got with my grandmother. My grandmother was younger than him. And people would be mean to him because, you know, at some point he stopped working. Well, yeah, he retired. And people forget that this man was a lumberjack.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
He was a lumberjack in the state of Maine, yeah.
Wow.
Well, people would
make fun of him because he didn't work without realizing this was an old man. He retired, you know.
He was thinking he's young. He probably looked young because I'm sure he had to be fit.
Oh, he was. And he was like 6'6". And had three kids together after they got together.
Oh.
And, yeah. So he was pretty old when his kids were born.
I understand that. I was 35 when I got pregnant with Chloe, 37 when I got pregnant with Gage.
Yeah.
And
he was pregnant in his 50s.
Oh, wow, I'm amazing. I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you go, then. he's kind of ugly. Wow. But, you know, you never know. God gives you blessings at all ages.
Yep.
I'm sure his children were blessed.
Certainly does. And I loved that man. He died at 85 years old.
Wow. It takes a special type of person to take in someone else's children and treat them as their own.
Yes, it does.
You know, I had a stepmom.
That's why when I hear about Bubba, I think about Grandpa Schmidt. Because that's what it reminds me of.
He was such a good man.
And you're so lucky to have had him.
I am. And I didn't like him. Oh, I didn't like that man my mom and him got together. I did not like him. He tried to win me over. And I just, 9-year-old cousin of mine. You know? He never gave up. He named me Cream Puff. I was like, you call me fat? You know, I thought he was, but he wasn't. And that stuck with me throughout the years, too. But he.
And the phone number in this case is 1-800-TBI-FIND.
Yeah.
In case anyone out there knows anything.
Yeah.
And this case was on the Unsolved Mysteries podcast.
Yes, the new one there. Every time I said Unsolved Mysteries, I got nervous at the new. But, yes, I do want to say this, though, that if anyone wants to spot my children, any person's children that are missing, they think that they could be them, call the local law right then. Dial 911 because they can use them quick. You know, TBI is going to take a minute. And, you know, that can save that child, you know. And there's a lot of children out there. And it breaks my heart, you know, because I know how a mother feels with their child being missing. And if you, you know, it may not be them, but if you see someone, you think that you send out a poster or you think they could be that child, call. It never hurts. The smallest thing.
No, it does not.
And, you know, it could be one thing that, you know, anything you know or think of. I'm asking, you know, just please call.
Yeah, and, you know, I live by one thing, and that is I would rather be wrong and do the right thing and call than to be right and have done nothing.
Exactly. You know, I learned that, you know, through all this, it's been a life-changing experience. I mean, it's you're more aware of stuff. I mean, I'm constantly, like, in Walmart, looking at missing children posters and online looking at them because you just never know, you know. It's hard, too, because mine have been missing for 10 years, and it's like, what do they look like? I have the age progression, and, you know, I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, yeah, I can see, you know, and then I'm like, well, you know, but there's certain distinctive things that I do remember about them that it should still be there, but, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, that's all I have, because age progression, you know, my children may or may not look like, but.
Well, the very first age progression that was done, at least in the United States, I don't know about in the world, but was Johnny Gosch.
Miss who?
Johnny Gosch.
Johnny Gosch. How'd you look at
it? He's missing from West Des Moines, Iowa.
And how long ago was that?
He's been missing since 1982.
Okay,
I believe they did the first age progression in 1988, and it was the very first one that had ever been done for a missing child.
And then the milk cartons. I remember putting the faces in the milk cartons. And.
Yep, him and Eugene Martin.
All that. You know, as a kid, you don't think nothing about that. Because I, you know, grew up in Tennessee, you know, we played outside all night, you know, hours of night, and like the door was locked. And I mean, I remember one case of someone going missing, and me growing up, you know, and they did find her, but it wasn't, you know, good. But, and I didn't ever, you know, you hear a lot about that around here. But, you know, my parents lived in a very, very rural area. They live in Rover, Tennessee, which, you know, is very small. But they lived up there for, gosh, I guess 37 years. They'd be married, and I think 37. But,
wow.
They, and their house was back up the road. So, but, you know,
I still live in the town I lived in when I was little. And when I was little, this town almost has 10,000 people now. When I was little, there were literally 3,600 people here.
Rover might have 200. You probably more than that now, but to me, Rover is one road, and that's the road my parents lived on. They had one little store been there for years, but, you know, it had everything you possibly think of. They didn't have a post office, but Unival had beside it, you know, so that's the little town you go get groceries, whatever, in, but just a little small hick town. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
My dad hauled hay, tobacco tarpon. I don't even think about that, having to cut that tobacco. But, you know, he was a plumber. My mom worked at a factory for years. They're just country people. And, you know, that house is built in 1992. The house was not that old.
Yeah.
So, you know, it.
No, I can relate to that because we're country people. We live in a very historic mill river valley. And pretty rural.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, it's like the family had probably, and I'm going to just estimate, McLaren was my dad's name. You know, Grandpa and Granny lived beside them. And, of course, they moved out of their old house, and I lived in it for a while. And then I bought a trailer next to Bubba put on the land right beside my house. But, I mean, it was family owned. They've been out there for years and years. And,
but you weren't living in the trailer when the fire happened?
No. I had bought a house in town, but I had moved to a cabin. I was in the river when it all happened. Yeah. It was that was probably the worst thing I've done in my life. I can still see it so vividly, and I can remember things, and I'm just like,
It must give you nightmares.
It does. I have nightmares. I have PTSD is a real factor of mine. I can't, like, fire, flames, smoke, ambulances, fire trucks, they really, they can send me over. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
I can relate to that because I'm terrified of fire. I won't even light a candle. I won't. Nah. Absolutely terrified.
Yeah,
and it's because we had a fire at a mill right across the street from our house when I was barely a year old.
Oh, wow.
Right over, just over a year old. Then my mom and I are coming down the street and the transformer kept blowing up on
the
pole. So, yeah, needless to say, I don't do fire. So, I can relate there.
You know, he's not bothering me. I mean, I wouldn't go out and play with fire. You know, I don't even know how to start a fire, and I still don't want to ever start a fire, you know. But he's not bothering me. He's like grilling out. I do know that no more. I do not do it.
I wouldn't go near a grill. I wouldn't go near a grill. Wouldn't go near an open flame. If I can feel the heat from a flame, I'm too close. So I get you there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I don't like candles. I don't anything anymore like I used to do.
Nope.
Just can't do it.
I don't blame you.
You know, you go through life and you never expect anything. But, you know, that's how people know.
So when they found them, I know they found them side by side. Did they find the dog and the bird with them?
Yes, the dog and bird was underneath my mother, I believe. That's how they said. Yeah.
That's weird.
She'd had that bird for like 25, 30 years. That bird was almost as old as I was. And then the little poodle she had for, gosh, at least, I'd say 10, close to it, I think. I guess it all happened. They went to my mom, you know, for protection or whatever. But yeah. But you know, the thing about them being in the basement side by side is kind of different too, because they can't sleep together. Their rooms are separate. I mean, my mother snored so loud you could sleep, you know, in the house pretty much. But that was good.
A lot of older couples don't sleep together.
Yeah. But they would have
pain thing. Or sleep issues or different things, and they just don't. My parents didn't. They were married for 44 years when my father died, but they just couldn't anymore, you know?
They'll be comfortable.
Exactly.
They, you know, for them, you know, they're trying to say that, you know, that they thought they fell through the floor. But I'm thinking that they were taken down there to the basement.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, especially since they were on top of the bird and the dog, and it seems to me if they fell through, they would have been on top of the debris. The debris from the floor above wouldn't have been on top of them.
Yeah, and I don't see, you know, them falling side by side either.
No.
You know, and
especially at 9:30 at night, I'm pretty sure they were probably, at least he was in bed. If anything like my dad, he was probably in bed or shortly to go.
I'm sure they all was, you know. They go to bed early. Of course, Chloe and Gage had school the next day, and they had to get up like at 5:30. You know, they're the first ones on, last ones off, so they came, you know, to get up early. And, I mean, I just feel like.
Wow, their bus came early, huh?
Yeah, they where they lived at, they had to get up really early. And they were so funny. Mm-hmm. They got that school bus and the little Gage, I'm so tired. he pick them up and get them on the gator, and he ride them around that gator, and they had fun. They just bubble up of Gage love. That was his. And I did too. I mean, my world revolved around Bubba too. You know, he was just always there. I mean, that was my rock. And, you know, Gage, he done the same thing. Chloe too, you know, and Chloe took it with Mama probably more so she did Bubba, but I mean that was our life. But it was, oh my God, they were too fun. They were just country kids loving life.
Yep.
And I just
I bet they hardly wore shoes in the summer.
Oh no, I'm dirty. Oh, they look like pigs out there running around. They find hide and go seek, and she gets in the round bell, haze, and gets stuck. So I thought they'd pull her out of that. I thought that was too funny. You know, and just stuff like that I think about, because, well, that's a good place to hide. Your mom ain't getting in there with you because they snakes and them things, and I ain't getting stuck up in there. But, you know, just
where was she?
The round bell haze. You know, the round bell haze you put out for horses' feet and stuff.
Yeah.
She was in the middle of one of them. How she done it? I don't know, but she done it. Playing hide and go seek. And got stuck and couldn't get out.
Yeah, how would you do that?
I don't know.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. I was doing some, you know, silly stuff. They had little miniature ponies. I mean, they had all kinds of animals. My mom, they love animals. And one day she had a little truck. And she pulls up, and I'm looking. I thought, well, who's in there with them? I guess it was blonde hair. And I thought, oh, it must be Autumn, their cousin, you know. Well, Gage gets out. Chloe gets out. My mama gets out. And the goat gets out. I said, what are you doing with the goat? We want to ride, too. I said, oh, my gosh. The goat was just living with the kid. I said, we got a kid, you know. And I said, you got to be kidding me. But the goat was in the house. I mean, it was trained. It was like a
funny.
They had, I mean, they was always doing something like that. They, you know, they had so much fun out there. So much.
And this, you know, these stories make people real. They make people want to help. And I love hearing these stories.
It, you know, it's just so, you know, Bubby, he was a character too. He bought Gagey an electric scooter, and he bought Chloe a little miniature motorcycle. And I'm standing there, and I hear Chloe screaming, Buster, what they call Gage Buster, don't you wreck my motorcycle. Granddaddy, you stop. You know he's going to follow you. And about that time, you have Bubba coming around the corner of the house on Gage's scooter. Gage's on Chloe's motorcycle, and Chloe's running behind him chasing him. And I said, oh, and Bubba said, I forgot, you know, he couldn't. He wouldn't be able to stand up on this and ride this. I'm going to have to go get him something different. I said, well, Bubba, take that one back and give him something. Oh, no, I ain't taking this back. I'm going to ride this. Then Gage got in the truck. Look, Mom, I can drive. And he ran my mother over. And my mom was like, I told you I'd teach him how to drive. He can't drive. I said, well, I think that's pretty damn good. He ran your ass over.
Well, he didn't hurt her, though, right?
No. It just kind of, like, come at her, bumped into her, and she's like, Gage, Buster. And I was laughing. I said, it meant to put it in reverse, but put it in drive instead. I couldn't, you know, as my child.
Yeah.
But we would, my mom, Bubba's always doing something to her, you know. But she gives it back
to me. I drove my father's car when I was 2.
Oh, my God. Where'd you go?
Well, I was sitting in my car seat in the front seat. This was in the 70s. You could put a car seat in the front seat. And I do remember reaching for the, because the shift was, well, you know this because you're just a little bit older than me. The shift was on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
I got a hold of it, went flying down the hill. My father had run in to give my grandmother something and left me in the car. He looked out the window. My grandma said, where's the car? Where's Angie? What? And he sees me going down the hill, and he goes booking down the hill after me. Well, thank goodness I got caught between 2 trees. So I didn't get hurt, but I guess the car got hurt a little bit. My grandmother called my mother and said, don't be mad at Bobby. My father was called Willie, but my grandmother called him Bobby. Don't be mad at Bobby. What do you mean, don't be mad at Bobby? Well, Angie kind of drove his car down the hill, but she's okay.
Everybody's fine. She got caught between 2 trees, and she's just fine. You know, back in the day, my kids, we were always doing something like that, you know.
Yeah.
My real dad had dump trucks. We'd be trying to drive them too. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Too bad you could go back and be a kid again, you know.
Yeah.
The times are so different than what we were doing here.
Yeah. And you were talking about you knew of a little girl that went missing. I knew of a little girl that went missing when I was little. And it does. It changes how you feel about where
people.
You are. She went missing about 40 miles from me. And she was 9. I was 11. And I never forgot her. Her name was Sarah Pryor. And she's the reason that I do this. You know?
I was going to ask you why you done this, if it was personal or just...
That's the reason, because of that little girl And then seeing her face all these years, all those years later, when they identified her skull fragments by DNA.
Oh, my gosh.
Because she was missing in 1985. She had moved to Massachusetts only 6 weeks before from Pennsylvania. And
oh, wow.
It wasn't until 1998 when they identified her skull fragments by DNA. And she's the reason I started doing this.
Well, thank you for being because, you know, it helps.
You're very welcome.
You know,
I keep looking at my phone to see if I got any messages because my aunt went to the hospital this morning. I think she's going to be okay. She's just got to have a bunch of tests because she passed out, slid right out of her chair, and landed on the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's 71.
Oh, okay. Maybe sugar, maybe?
Well, she does have diabetes, but they don't know. Everything was out of control when she got to the hospital, so.
Yeah.
But I talked to her. She seemed in good spirits, so I was glad I got to talk to her before the show because I said to my other aunt, because my other aunt called me. She called me this morning, but I haven't heard anything, and that was at 3:30. I said, let me call the hospital. I'm closer than you are. Because she's in Maine, and I'm here, and my aunt's here. So I called the hospital. I got a hold of her. And so I guess they talked tonight. Ugh. It's easier for me to do it because I'm closer.
Yeah. But it's still stressful, too, though.
Huh?
It's stressful, too, when you're not close to them and you want to be there and you can't.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is stressful for my Aunt Barbara, but my Aunt Barbara can't get here. She's not physically able to. She's a 72. They're both older than my mother. So.
They're sisters then.
Huh?
Are they sisters?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they're full sisters, and then my mother was born after them, but she has the same maiden name as them because that was her mother's name when she was born. So she has their father's name, even though he wasn't her dad.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, he didn't care. Lee and Courier didn't care, not a bit. As a matter of fact, one of his kids asked her if he was mean to her, because he had kids a couple of generations worth, if he was this strict with her or something like that. When she was a kid, she said, what? And he said, I wasn't there for her. He didn't deny her, even though she wasn't his. He said, I wasn't there for her. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome when you think about it.
You know, my mom and dad, they divorced when I was five. And when you put us all together, you know, they remarried and stuff. There's 9 girls and 3 boys.
Wow.
You know, wow. You know, you got a big family, and I never call
any
of them.
That's 14 kids. That's 14 kids.
Well, I mean, it's 12.
9 girls and 4 boys.
There's 9 girls and 3 boys.
13?
Yeah, it's 9 girls and 3 boys. And
okay, so that's 12. Yeah, I can count.
You know, we have 9 years off from there, and someone's wondering about us. And I'm the one y'all wonder about us, because I don't have, like, nothing, no. I said, I just felt a little wagging up and getting it. That's so damn cute. I'm a baby. I'm a baby girl. And I've been, I can't say I have.
Is there anything that you would like to say if by chance your children or their doctors are listening?
Or do you
happen to listen at some point?
Chloe and Gagey, I will never stop looking for y'all. I love you so much, and I want y'all home. Y'all are both blessings to me, and to know that everybody here loves you and wants you home. And I pray to the Lord every night that he wraps his arms around you, he takes care of you, and that whoever has y'all will find God, will find the Lord, and will bring y'all home. And I hope that whoever has them loves y'all. I hope they're taking care of y'all. And that y'all are happy. And I want them to know that they are my children. I do love them. And I want them back. And,
yep.
You know, I don't care. I don't even care to know who you are. Just bring my children back. You can take them to the hospital. You can take them, drop them off call law enforcement, come pick him up. I don't care. You go your merry way. I just want my baby.
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, here on earth, I may never see justice if you've done this. But I know in heaven there's a judgment day. And I know that they have to face it. And I could, you know, I want justice for my parents. But the main thing is right now, I know my parents will be like this too. Bring my babies back. They need to be with their family. There's no hard feelings. I have forgiven whoever has done this. And just lay them back. You know, you've taken my life, my soul. And I know my babies love me, and I know they want their mama.
Yep.
And Chloe and Gacy, I love y'all. And don't ever forget that mommy loves you. I guess that's all.
They just sound like they were happy, fun loving, innocent, simple kids, you know, when you described them. Like, were they good in school?
Yes. Yes. There's, when the teacher made a comment about Chloe, says she is such a giving child, wants to help everybody.
Aww.
And Gagey wants to, Gagey loves women, honey. He likes to run up and hug all the women teachers.
That's
he was like a caveman. I was outside, and I had a fenced in yard, and he was like 2 years old. And this lady pulled up, and she stepped out of a car, and I mean, he was like, run! And took off running towards her. And I said, oh my God. You know, he couldn't get through the fence. That's a good thing. He's right that fence there looking at her. That's like a caveman. I was like, my child. And I said, he likes women. Never met a stranger. Both of them made the top 10. You know, Gagey loved tractors. Love had tractors, and he loved tractors. And Chloe loved horses, and they loved kinds of animals. They should be good-hearted, happy children, country children. And, I asked a question.
That's the best way to be, in my opinion, because I grew up a country kid. I don't understand being a city kid. To me, being a country kid, being out in the grass, with no shoes on all summer, and flip-flops if you absolutely needed to wear them somewhere, and just being able to play outside till it gets dark at 9 o'clock in the summer. And just to me, that's the way a kid should grow up.
Hanging in the creek and mud all over you, and just, I had good vegetables growing up, you know, animals. And it was so peaceful out there in Rosa Chevrolet. It was so peaceful.
Yeah. I mean, and animals will always be, you know, they'll be there for you.
They're loyal.
I love my cats.
Loyal. I'm a petty person. I have a carpet cleaner. He's as good as I'll get out.
Yep. Oh, are you kidding me? Well, I had a cat that if I would cry, he would come right up to my bed, sit in front of me, and look at me. Like, you okay, Mommy?
Yeah.
That's the way they are.
I cry a lot, you know, and he'll come to me and stand up and put my paws up on my shoulder and put his head on my shoulder.
Aww.
Yeah.
Thank you so, so much. Once again, 1-800-TBI-FIND. That stands for Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Again, I want to thank Cheryl for joining me. I want to thank Mary for her contribution to the show. She doesn't have internet, so she can't listen to it.
I'll get it to her.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Yes, I'll get it to her.
I was hoping one of her kids or grandkids or somebody would play it for her.
They play it for her.
That's good. And I want to thank everybody who's listening. And I just want to, if it's okay with you, give a little programming note. This broadcast will be out as soon as we're done. I will go upload it. And tomorrow it will be up on Kid Missing on YouTube in the Kid Missing Radio playlist when Headliner sends me the video. We have some videos coming on my other channel, Punky's World, tomorrow. But Kid Missing on Monday will have the last video for the month of January. And tomorrow, Kid Missing will also have the video of the updates for February. So I hope everybody will check all of that out. And again, thank you so much, Cheryl, for being here. I had a lot of fun talking to you.
You too. I wish you could stay in touch. I like talking to you.
Yeah. No, we can. Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
So this has been Kid Missing Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. One more thing. I'm very excited to say that as of January 26th, we have 40,000 views on Kid Missing.
Yay!
On YouTube. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, it is.
And you guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your evenings or your day if you're listening to it tomorrow. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Have a great night.
You too.